Doing good, as opposed to meaning well, is rarely easy. The extraordinary outpouring of donations from around the world for the relief and repair of those devastated by the historic tsunami of 2 weeks ago raises a score of concerns. This week, Doctors Without Borders, the Paris-based medical assistance group, said they have as much money as they can spend in the areas struck by the tsunami. They suggested their supporters contribute money to their other programs in places like Sudan, which they worry about being overlooked while the world turns so many cameras on Southeast Asia. Now, Doctors Without Borders won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1999 in part because they've been willing to take a distinct, sometimes difficult position on the morality of relief. I was covering the Ethiopian famine and civil war in 1986 when the doctors decided to pull out of that country, saying international relief efforts, from concerts at Wembley Stadium to the alphabet soup of UN agencies running programs, were enabling the Mengistu regime to continue to rob and oppress the Ethiopian people. Most of the aid workers we encountered, from the likes of UNICEF, Save the Children, World Vision, and Oxfam, essentially agreed off the record, but they said that clean hands do not always make a clear conscience. Even if the Mengistu regime was enriching itself with international aid, a trickle or more delivered food to starving people and inoculated ravaged children against disease. If they stayed, more people had a chance to survive, even if it also kept alive a brutal dictatorship. The challenge that Doctors Without Borders poses over tsunami relief is different. Save for Myanmar, most of the countries who've been hit by devastation have plausible, even democratic governments. Secretary General Annan has been criticized today for heeding the Sri Lankan government's insistence that he not go to stricken areas controlled by the Tamil Tiger rebels, but that conflict has mostly been quelled by a ceasefire for the past 3 years. Can the world be generous about more than one crisis at the same time? For many people, this is a question about income as much as attention span. We have only so much in our pockets to give. Does the $50 we are moved to give for survivors of the tsunami mean we will not spend that $50 that could buy 35 mosquito nets to save scores of African children from malaria, or that we will give $20, not $50, to a local homeless shelter? Maybe the tsunami disaster won't overwhelm all of our other generous instincts, but just remind us how many ways and places there are to be useful.